Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing a report this morning, and as Maynard said, Paul Ramos at the control panel will be talking. He interviewed Tony Smith half an hour or so ago, as Tony and the Eagles are going up to Moorhead to watch a Concordia play. Peyton Mortensen playing for the Cobbers up there, and so we'll have his interview on shortly here after the go through the scores from last night. Of course, the game you heard live here on Q92, a great first half, and then I think the tide turned a little bit. Mineota defeating our Eagles 42-7. Dawson Boyd remained undefeated as they rolled over McRae 32-6. Lakeview 22, Yellow Medicine East 8. RTR, Russell Tyler Ruthen, over our next week's opponent, 40-12, Canby. Bold remained number one in the state as they shut out Sauk Center. Browerville, Eagle Valley over Benson, 36-14. Minnewaska shut out Montevideo, 17-0. Springfield remained undefeated, rolling up a lot of points in the first four games over Sleepy Eye, 55-8. Laverne defeated Norwood Young America, 38-8. Painesville over Melrose, 42-7. Jackson County Central, big score over Redwood Valley, 49-12. Adrian defeated Tracy Milroy Belton, 20-6. Hancock rolling along, 42-6 over Verndale. Morris Area, Chicago, Alberta, 33, ACGC, 13. Upsala, Swanville Area over KMS, 22-6. Bertha Hewitt, 42, Ortonville, 20, and Renville County West and Nineman defeated Medelia, 42-6. Well, that brings us up to our game. Have Paul Ramo put that interview with Tony Smith that they just completed about half an hour ago right now.
In Minnesota, you can take 10,000 different routes to adventure. One path leads you to bluff country biking and world-class hiking trails. Head in a different direction and explore modern art and a historic brewery. Navigate by boat to a lakeside restaurant or cruise downriver with friends on a paddleboard. No matter which route you take, from star-studded concerts to camping under the stars, you're destined to find your true north, only in Minnesota. Visit exploreminnesota.com.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk football with head coach Tony Smith of the Lacaparra Valley Eagles. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Well, a short night for you and a big day for the Eagle football team again on this Saturday.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We're going to head up to Concordia Moorhead today to watch Peyton and the Concordia Cobbers play Augsburg at 1 o'clock today. So we're going to be leaving here shortly and taking the team up and go watch some football.
All right. Peyton will like that, I bet, huh?
Yeah.
He's getting some playing time, too.
Yeah, he plays quite a bit as one of their backs. Last week he scored his first college touchdown, mm-hmm. So he was pretty excited about that. So, yeah, it'll be fun to go up there and watch.
All right. Well, let's talk about last night's game, which you heard right here on Q92. You were down in Mineota. A lot of rich history on that football field, that Coplin Field, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of football games have been played there throughout the years, playoffs and whatnot. But field was in great shape, it was a great first half for us.
Yep.
Was super excited with the way we came out. Yeah, they scored on their opening drive, and we had a little bit of a breakdown on their touchdown pass. But for us to then get an interception and then go down and score on a, 21 yards to Austin Bond, it was a great start. So it was 8-7. And then they ended up scoring, I believe, in the second quarter to make it 14-7. And then we had an opportunity, I don't know, midway through the second quarter to score another touchdown, and did not convert. We did try a field goal from 31 yards. Leighton thought that, you know, that right hash was kind of his. He was better from that right hash, so thought we'd give it a try. It was a great start for us, and we couldn't be more pleased going into halftime, 14-7. And then we got the ball to start the half, and things were looking up, and then we went three and out on that first drive of the second half, and then they had a big long run, I believe. Sanow had a long run, and that third quarter, as Lowry said into the headset, this third quarter just won't end, and it felt like it was forever,
They had three scores in that third quarter there.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up.
Yeah, okay. It's really too bad.
Yep.
We did some things offensively well. We did some things defensively well. We knew they were going to run the ball to Seussner's side, but he's such a big, strong kid, and they did a nice job of taking away the fly sweep from us. But you know, we were able to run the ball between the tackles a little bit. Colt Mortensen had a nice night throwing the ball.
I really like the way he throws the ball. It's like a fastball in baseball. It just zings it out there. He's got a lot of velocity on that.
Every throw is a fastball for
him.
It's
good.
Even in practice, it's max effort on every throw. He stands in there surveys the field really nice. And we had some plays in the pass game, which helped us. Especially in that first half.
Yep. Okay, and in the fourth quarter, at the end of the third is what, 28-7, I think?
Yeah.
Fourth quarter just kind of JV came in there at the end. But
Well, and then I believe, it was in the third quarter, I believe, too. I think it was 20-7.
Okay.
I believe it was 20-7 at the time.
Yep,
27. We went with one of our little gadget plays, brought Avery Whitnable in. He's left-handed, so we're going to run our little toss to the left, and then he stopped and threw it. And unfortunately, I thought after that, you know, we got the first down, thought what a great time to maybe take a shot into the end zone, and unfortunately it was intercepted, and that was really kind of the end of our scoring chances there in the third quarter.
Okay. All right. I thought the first half, Eagles played them tough. It was a fun first half to broadcast, that's for sure. The guys got at it. They had some big plays, some big interceptions by Mason Clark. After Leighton fumbled, and then the very first play, I think it was.
I think you're right, yes.
Mason picked it off and got it back deep in the Viking territory there in the first quarter.
Yeah, and we had actually run a kind of a little bit of a bubble screen to Leighton, and mm-hmm. that was big for us there in the first half. And then they took that away from us a little bit more aggressive on the edge there in the second half. But
I thought the offensive line played really well in that first half.
Yes, they really did, and they don't blitz a lot, and we knew that coming in, but our front five did a nice job of protecting Colton so he could get some throws off. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go through what stats we have here. Got some stats there in front of you.
Yeah, okay. I do. Offensively. Carson Buehr had 8 carries for 26 yards. And like I mentioned, they kind of, they widened out the defensive ends. And they're just big, strong kids on the end. So they kept stringing it out. So Leighton Whitnable ended up with 4 carries for minus 1 yard. Colton Mortensen, obviously on some of the sacks as we got later into the game, he ended up with 4 carries for the 19 yards on the sacks. Carter Amlin had 5 carries for minus 1 yard. Brandon Rios had 2 carries for 2 yards. Passing the ball, Colton was 11 of 20 for 140 yards and the one touchdown to Austin Bond. Avery Whitnable was 0 for 1, like I'd mentioned before, with an interception. Receiving, Leighton Whitnable had 3 receptions for 63 yards. Mason Clark had 3 for 29. Austin Bond had 3 for 32, and Evan Hagland had 2 for 16. And then as far as As far as tackles go, Landon Sherm had 3 tackles. Tyler Schickadance had 6 tackles. Leighton Whitnable had 9. Carson Buehr had 4. Dustin Piotr, Tanner Buffington, was feeling under the weather, and we actually had, I don't know, 4 or 5 guys at one point in time this week sick. Dustin Piotr came in and played in the defensive backfield. He had 4 tackles, and he had his first career sack, so
yeah,
he was excited about that.
Oh, man, he came out of nowhere on that one. He just flew in there.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah.
Tucker Drugsma had 3 tackles. Chris Flores had 6 tackles. Xander Banky had 2 tackles. So it's kind of that was kind of spread out throughout the time or throughout the defense. Leighton Whitnable was 0-for-1 on field goals. Colton Mortensen had 3 punts, kickoff returns. We had Brandon Rios had 3 returns for 61 yards. Leighton Whitnable had 3 returns for 47 yards. And, Landon Sherm had 3 returns for 56 yards. And then Brandon Rios had 1 for 24.
Okay.
So, looking back on it, you just kind of dwell on the fact that it was 14-7 at halftime. And you're thinking, wow, here we go. I mean, we played well in the second half throughout the year. Or in our first 3 games. Last night, it was a very forgettable second half for us as far as not in effort, it was just in the execution piece.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, what do you got coming up next? We got homecoming week, that's right.
We do have homecoming.
Activities director nightmare, right?
Yes, all. Hey, as Mr. Swatsky and we kind of talk about it, it's great during the week. But as soon as Friday night ends, it's kind of a big relief just because of all of the things that went on. And now you can kind of relax because there's really not much downtime during the week. But Camby is coming to town. They're, I believe, 2-2 on the year. They lost last night to RTR, who is quite honestly shocking some people, I think, within the district just on their
efforts.
On their performance. Coach Johnson down in Mineota thought that RTR, when they played Mineota, that RTR was more physical than Mineota was.
Oh, wow.
And they have a bunch of underclassmen. This Southwest District is not a cupcake by any stretch of the imagination. You got to earn every win that you get, and you have to execute.
Okay. So you got Camby Friday night for homecoming, and that'll be it's always tough when Camby and Lockport all get together, right?
Yeah, been some very good games over the last couple of years. A lot of fun. It's usually very, very even, and it'll be very competitive. Our junior high played Dawson on Monday afternoon, and I believe the 7th graders lost, I think it was 20-0 or 28-0. And then the 8th graders and freshmen played after that, and I believe the score there was something like 28-0 or 28-7 maybe.
Oh.
The 8th and 9th graders came out with a win.
Okay.
And this week they go to Mineota on Tuesday, so they'll be down there again. So that's what they've got going on this week.
Okay. All right. Have fun today up in Moorhead.
Yeah,
watching Peyton play.
Very, very excited to go and get up there. Just kind of a time to hang out and grab a bite to eat and watch some football it'll be a good day.
All right, have fun this week during homecoming, and we'll see you Friday then.
You bet. Thank you,
Head Coach Tony Smith of the Eagles. So we'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show right after this.
With fewer people actively involved in farming, developing leaders is vital to the future of agriculture. The Lacaparral County Corn and Soybean Growers are proud to support FFA in the development of those leaders. FFA programs help grow leaders who share the same values as corn and soybean farmers, including promoting the global importance of agriculture and the wise stewardship of our land and water resources. This message brought to you by the Lacaparral County Corn and Soybean Growers and their checkoffs.
Wouldn't you rather buy your insurance from a friend you can depend on, like the United Prairie Agency? Their agents work very hard to be just that, dependable insurance friends to each policyholder. You'll find them committed to excellence in insurance products, fair competitive rates, and above all, top-flight service. United Prairie Agency, a friend you can depend on. And now's the time to stop in and update your coverage. That's United Prairie Agency, located in the United Prairie Bank Building in Madison, or give them a call at 598-7541.
Whether it's stocking the fridge with their favorites, baking cookies for an afternoon snack, or enjoying a home-cooked meal as a family, the smallest daily tasks show them you care. That's why Whirlpool brand delivers thoughtfully designed kitchen appliances to help keep your day moving smoothly. You'll find them at Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. From the moment you bring home the groceries to the quick cleanup afterward, Whirlpool kitchen appliances are there to make your life a little easier. Shop their full collection today to find the appliance package that fits your family's needs at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison, Minnesota.
Back at the Coach's Show, thanks to Paul for doing a lot of the interviews this week as everybody's in action, except we have one coach live in the studio here, Dr. Brand Hacker, and talking tennis. Welcome.
Hey, thanks much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, let's hear about your week then.
Yeah, we had a couple matches this week. We played a couple away matches. We were over in Montevideo on Tuesday. Took a loss to Montevideo to 5-2. So we ended up posting losses all the way across all four singles positions. So that was our first time this year we've lost all of our singles. So that's Anna Hacker at one, Addie Oya at two, Caitlin Woodenable at three, and Maddie Matthews at four singles. Didn't really have anything that was close, honestly. I mean, just they played some very solid points. Give them credit. Corey Douglas was third in section last year. She beat Anna at one singles, 6-3, 6-1. Addie Oya played Emily Brace, who's a 10th grader, playing really well. Barry Brace coaches the boys over here. That's his daughter. Okay. She ended up losing 6-0, 6-2. Caitlin Whitnable, 6-3, 6-2. And then Maddie Matthews lost 6-2, 6-0. So they've got all those gals coming back next year. So not looking forward to that. They will be a solid team. We picked up our wins across the doubles positions. First doubles won again, Jessica Sigdahl and Rachel Halverson, and Veda Maharaj and Bree Koloff at two doubles won. And the first doubles was a three-setter, and then we ended up losing a three-setter at three doubles. So it was close there, but Sarah Halverson and Kylie Winninger couldn't pull out the win, ended up going three sets. So we ended up losing 5-2 to Mania on Tuesday.
Okay.
We ended up heading up to Melrose on Thursday. Posted a win. We won 5-2 up there. We won it first and fourth singles, and then 1-2-3 doubles across the board were wins for us. Our doubles have been probably our first and second doubles, and our first singles positions have been our most consistent points this year. Those gals have been doing really well, being very consistent. Like I said, giving us some points there. You know, you need to get four out of the seven to win the match. So those have been points we can almost count on every time. Maddie Matthews also won at fourth singles. And then Sarah Halverson and Kylie Windiger won at three doubles as well. So did a nice job. Addie Oy played a nice match, lost in three sets. And Caitlin Whitnable also nice match, but lost in three sets. Yeah. So they were very close, just couldn't pull it out in the end. Both of them are doing some nice things, developing their game. Caitlin's a ninth grader playing up in three singles, so asking a lot of her there. She's seeing, you know, pretty much she played a senior that day, and, okay, you know, she'll play kids who are pretty much older than her every time. Addie's been so close. I went through her matches last night. You know, she's only posted three wins on the season, but there have been a lot. They're just like this, three-setters, or she loses at 7-6, 6-4 in two sets. So, and counting them up, she's had five other matches that are at least three-setters or going to tiebreakers. So, she's right at the cusp of turning things around. So, you know, she continues to develop her game, and hopefully she can bring that into this next week,
sure,
too. So that was the two matches this week. That puts us 8-4 on the season this year. The gals have really been playing well and doing a good job. We host a couple of matches this week. We host Sauk on Tuesday, and then we host Minnewaska, who's a state-ranked solid team, on Thursday. So should be a good challenge for us there.
Then a week from today, you're also in action.
Yeah, next Saturday is already our conference tournament. Wow. We're wrapping up conference already. So we are up in Alexandria for that. I know there's been some on the high school website. I think Tony was able to change it, so I appreciate that. But it had us listed over in Montevideo, which was not correct. And the Montevideo coach was pretty surprised when I told her we'd be playing conference at her location. She had no idea what I was talking about. So that's Shelby Monahan over in Monty. But we are up in Alexandria a week from today, starting about 9 o'clock up there. So,
well, it's nice that you can find a place where you can get the matches in and not spend from dawn to dusk, so to speak.
Yeah, it's great because usually when we are at places like Montevideo or Minnewaska in the past, we end up having to forfeit matches or stop matches because of it's dark.
Darkness,
already.
Yeah.
Alexandria has 16 courts total for us, so that is awesome.
Yep.
We're usually wrapping up, you know, around supper time before supper, so that's nice for us. Yep.
Different locations, I'm assuming, or...
Well, we've got 12 of them at the high school,
okay.
And then there's four more courts away in town in Alexandria, where we usually put a couple doubles matches.
Sure. Well, if you go up there to watch, somebody from Lacaparo will tell you where to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll help you out. Not a problem.
All right. Okay. And then your season just about over and after that.
Yeah. And then we the following week, we play New London Spicer home as a non-conference, non-section match. And then we're into sections already.
Wow.
Yeah. And we wrap things up pretty quickly. October 3rd is our first day of team sections.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
We do have a couple JV things going on, just to mention quickly.
Sure.
JV is going to a triangle. Well, it's actually like an invite at New London Spicer on Monday.
Okay.
There's about six other teams there, so it should be a really good experience for them, seeing a lot of teams that we don't usually see. They're more from the east and kind of the north area. That some of them are the same, but a lot are new. So I'm excited for that. That's our first year at that this year, and we're working on hopefully getting something together on Thursday playing Minnewaska's JV. So there'll be hopefully a couple matches next year.
All right. Yeah, and it's important that they get some. Matches in too.
Absolutely. We lose seven seniors off our varsity lineup. We need a lot of fresh blood, and the more they get to play, the better at this point.
Exactly. Yep. Well, thanks for the talk. Best of luck this week, and then Paul will be interviewing you during the week on those two matches during the week, and then we'll find out about the conference in 2 weeks.
It sounds great. Look forward to talking to you.
Dr. Brand Hacker on tennis. Who's next?
Sure.
We'll do cross country with John Sherb. He's up in Malacca. That taped interview with Paul Ramo after this.
Hi, Jesse Myers here with Myers Electric and Infrared. Business is growing, and in order to keep up with the higher demand, we are looking to expand our team. We are currently hiring a Minnesota journeyman electrician. Benefits include top pay, paid vacation, paid holidays, company vehicle, and much more. For more information, call Jesse at 320-226-7447. Check us out on Facebook or look us up on the web, www.myersendi.com.
My head started hurting really bad. We drove to CCM Health. The minute they got me through the door, my heart quit. I went into full cardiac arrest. A few days later, I got to go home, and I started my rehab at CCM Health. The staff there is just unbelievable. I can do anything anyone else can. They really know how to build you back up at CCM Health. They got me to where I could live my life.
CCM Health. Live your life. CCMHealthMN.com.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Tuesday night out at Lacaparo Valley as the Eagles host the McRae Wolverines in a Camden Conference volleyball matchup. 7:30 first serve. I'll visit with Molly Hennon, the head coach of the Eagles, in the Subway pregame show. That's the Eagles and the Wolverines in volleyball Tuesday night right here on Q92. Tune in.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to chat with head coach John Sherb of the Lacaparo Valley Dawson Boy Cross Country Teams. And, John, you're on your way to Malacca. You're actually probably in Malacca already.
Yeah, we would be. It's going to be a 10 o'clock start up there, so we'll be there with about 6,000 other kids, so it'll be a pretty good size meet to be at.
All right, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but you did have a one meet this week, and it was at home.
Yeah, it was home. It was our, you know, kind of a pre-section meet to kind of anybody wants to see the course and they can know what happens or what goes on with it. They can see it and get understanding. So when it turns to the section meet in basically over a month, they know what's going on. And we ended up having 13 teams, which was good. And the conditions weren't the greatest, and we actually moved it back a half an hour from a 4:30 to 5 o'clock start, and then also we cut the distance down on pretty much all the races just because the health concern and didn't know how sticky it was, so we moved her down. And it was still good a chance to race because we had been on the shelf for, you know, a long time. We didn't get our meet from Tracy. It was our last one in, and that's a week and a half ago. So it was nice to get something, so we needed some time to race.
Yeah, it was pretty hot on Thursday, wasn't it? Tuesday.
Yeah, it was. On Tuesday, yeah, it was very hot. And just like I said, by the time we got to the varsity races, actually, it wasn't too bad. If we went to any wind out there, it really been baking big time out there. So the wind did help. It was a little gusty at times, but it still was able to keep some air moving.
Okay. Yeah, well, how'd you guys do?
I thought we ran well. I thought we looked rusty in times, but, you know, the conditions, the biggest thing we always talk about with the kids is mentally preparing yourself. And I think a couple of our kids, you know, weren't as sound. We've got some garbage going through our system as it's cold and sickness and a lot of that crap right now we're trying to fight with. So we had some kids that were struggling through the race, and we pulled some kids. You could tell they were not handling it well. But overall, it was good to find out where we're at and just to get these kids back on the course. In the junior high girls race, we ended up moving that down to about, a little under 2,300 meters. It was like 2,285 or something like that on the wheel when we checked it. Akiana Speck was 16th with a time of 11:32. Grace Vosick was 17th at 11:35. Taylor Wood was 24th at 11:51. And then Ashlyn Woolley was 40th at 14:03. Junior high boys, same course as what the girls ran. We changed up a little bit, moved Eli Hagelin up to the JV race to see what he can handle the distance. And it really turned out well for James. James Weber got his first win. I don't know if he's ever won a cross-country race yet. So this is his first time getting a victory there. He won it with a time of 9:05. Charlie Will was right behind him. Those two were pretty much side by side the last half of the mile of the race. They just got out and took care of and just ran together and worked each other and was good. He was second at 9:05.34. Tygan Allpress was fifth at time of 9:28.44. Then we had Tayden Clark. He was 18th at 8:10.18. Then we had Carson Bessonen. He was 26, and this is probably Carson's best race. You know, he's probably golfed that so many times, so it felt comfortable being on the running part on it. So that's why he knew everything where to go and ran really well, one of his best races of the year so far. He was at 10:48. Luke Stock was 33rd at 10:57. Matt Arndt was 37th at 11:08. Brendan Sherb was 43rd at 11:17. And then Baxter Kalloff was 49th at 11:29. And, you know, scoring-wise, nice thing we were able to score that team for us. We ended up winning with 41 points, and then Pipestone was second with 53. Then we went into the JV races, and we moved them in just because we were trying to give the varsity some more time to handle it just with the conditions. So we wanted to change it up a little bit, so we moved the JV races up and just to try to get them a feel of them. So we moved them down a little bit in their JV. And they ran a 4K, same distance as the boys at all races. So it was nice that way. JV girls of the 4,000-meter course, our top runner in there was Jade Bukowski. She was 28th at 22:13. Reagan Johnson was 29th at 22:22. Reagan Martinson was 33rd at 22:33. And then we had Isabel Stender at 37th at 23:07. And so, like I said, it was just good to get these girls in there just to move them in. And they're working hard, and that's all you can ask. And the boys' JV race ended up having very top field. Our front guys are really solid. And that was a big thing for us. You know, someone made a comment to, like, Ryan Swenson and said, couldn't believe our guys could not make our varsity team. And it's a lot of teams, you know, these guys would be scoring for varsity. And Caleb Johnson won it. I think that's probably his first, first cross-country victory he's ever had, too. He won it with a time of 15:08.61 on that 4K course. Hunter Martinson was second at 15:27. Then Darius Fenske was third at 15:36. Eli Hagelin, our young eighth grader, we moved him up. He was fourth at 15.54. Phoenix Gonzalez was fifth at 16.04. Then Brandon Crosh was seventh at 16.13. Isaac Connor was eighth at 16.14. Gavin Fernals was 14th at 16.54. Devin Fernals was 19th at 17.26. Ryan Lund was 22nd at 17.30. Ryder Drugsma was 25th at 17.38. Gavin Stoltz was 26th at 17.41. Then Lucas Vosick was 38th at 18.12. Elijah Fierkenstead was 41st at 18.34. Tyler Buehler was 43rd at 18.38. Patrick Slachta was 44th at 18.40. Jack Kennedy was 48th at 18.48. And Justin Perkins was 52nd at 19.02. And Jordan Perkins was 75th at 20.39. Ethan Hersham was 77th at 20.53. And Wiley Wiebe was 88th at 21.53. So, like I said, I thought those the JVers really did a nice job handling it, worked hard, and, that front side of those boys are tough, and it's good to see them just to kind of push the issue and go at varsity girls. Going in, like I had mentioned before, Morgan Gale from MCC is ranked second in state, should be first, but second, like I said, not going to matter till the end of the year. But she just looks sound. She is running so well. To do what she's been doing and the course she ran, and then also, Grace Dreets is no slouch at all. She's like in sixth in the state. So, you got two kids that are ranked in the state and individually, so that's a good feel to see it. And they both went at it. But, for Morgan to beat Grace by, 44 seconds, that's a lot, and that's kind of surprising. So we had some issues in the girls. We had Annika Fernals, who had been sick. She went home Monday, got a lot of rest trying to get, like I said, we got crud going through. So she tried to run, got through about a mile and a half, and then she came out and just wasn't worth it, and she was having a tough time breathing and just wasted with all the crud. So she came out, and so that kind of affects our team scoring. Taylor Shelston was our top runner. Taylor was 24th. And she went 18-17. I thought she looked very, very controlled because she's also another one that the heat can be an issue, but I thought she really stabilized herself, looked comfortable coming in. Then, we had Annika Trigerstedt, who's our third runner traditionally. She also did not finish. She was, going into the Milbank week, we didn't think she'd be able to run that week at all, and she was sick also. She's trying to get the crap and the phlegm out of her system, so she pulled also. But then Alex Stick was 36th at 19.22. Georgia Will was 38th at 19.32. Josie Sherb was 40th at 19.51. And then Rachel Lund was 42nd at 20.01. Scoring-wise, MCC's girls are running really well. And they are going to probably be perennially the ones going to sit in second place in this section. I know they ran against Laverne last week, and they did beat them, so I'm guessing Laverne had someone out with some sickness and garbage there, so they did not run that. So they're going to be in that, and then Camby's right with them also. MCC won it with 33. Camby was second at 47. Redwood, 69. Milbank was in fourth at 92. Southwest Christian was in fifth at 103, and then we were sixth at 153. And like I said, that's just, we just got to keep working until we get everybody together and get healthy. That's the biggest thing. We've got to get our health back, and that's just hopefully this stuff does not continue to go through the team itself, so we end up having kids all the time. We get 5-6 more kids out, and it's just hopefully we don't have that, but it could happen. Boys race turned into a really, really good individual race, which, this Milbank kid, I know I talked to their coaches a little bit, has not been pressed all year for them. He's been winning anywhere from a minute and a half to 2 minutes in his races. Sound kid. He'll do very well individually in South Dakota, and I think they have three classes, so in their middle class, he'll do very well. So that was a good one. And then also the Redwood kid was in the hunt with Mike and Zeke, so it was going to be kind of interesting where those guys would. And those four pretty much controlled it, and then the three broke away. The Milbank kid ended up beating Mike and Zeke by just a few seconds, about 8 seconds and 12 seconds. So, but it was good for having those two guys pressed on. Mike was second overall for the time of 13:35. That's a 4K course. Zeke Sather was third at 13:40. Griffin Johnson was fifth at 14.13. Mason Bramer was 11th at 14.46. Caden Allpress was 14th at 15.07. Colby Duth was 15th at 15.09. And Peyton Sterwood was 18th at 15.24. So, we put all seven of our guys in the top 18, so that's going to do very well for us. We went with 35. I think we can run better at spots. You just got to keep picking up and getting stronger and getting through it. Redwood was second with 88. Millbank was third with 98. Pipes went 100. Canby Mineo at 123. Monty 148. MCC at 170. Ortonville 188. And YME was at ninth at 213. So it was good to get a race, and we needed it badly. They've been sick and tired of practice and things like that, and so it was good to get something to find out where we're at, and they got to get the sickness and this bug out of the team. That's going to be our big key to get ourselves back to being healthy.
Okay. All right. Well, a good test at home at the Madison Country Club for sections coming up here. When is sections? In three, four weeks?
October 24th. I think it's October 24th. I think the corresponding date would be on that Thursday. So, we're very fortunate. The Madison Golf Course allows us to get out there to use it. A great place to showcase the golf course itself, and then also the communities too, to see some of these top kids and teams in our area that are going to do very well at the state meet. So it just, we're fortunate they allow us, and the same thing with, we had the ambulance squad there, they helped a lot. We had a lot of kids on all teams that were struggling in the heat, so great support all around for everybody to help to have this meet run the way it is, and so it was good.
Yeah, it takes a lot of people to put that together, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, it does. Tony's getting everything lined up for numbers and everything else. So it's, trying to get enough people to work is always the big thing, just because you can never have enough. And like I said, it's good to have a lot of that communication.
All right. Well, this morning you're up in Malacca. Now, is it the largest high school cross-country meet in the nation, or one of
yes,
them?
Yes, that's what they're... It's one of them, and I've heard it's always been the largest one. And when you're talking 6,000, maybe up to 6,500 kids running,
wow,
in all levels. They have four varsity divisions, and so you have boys and girls, so you get a good range of things. And they don't have the conflicts. Years they've had the conflict when GRIAC and the U of M would always have theirs. They've got that to another week, so. Like I said, it turns into a really big meet, and just it's a lot of going. You start a race at 10 o'clock, every 15 minutes there's a race going on until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So it's a zoo.
Teams, is it just Minnesota, or are there other teams around the state, or around
other
the country?
Other around the state. Yeah. Some you may get some North, we get some North Dakota, some South Dakota teams run there.
Okay.
Don't get much Iowa or Wisconsin, but at GRIAC the following week they get more of the out-state ones. But we get kind of the bubbles just because it's a travel. Even for us, you think about it, it's still a decent haul for us to go up there. So you're always fighting that. If you come from South Dakota now, you're pushing yourself in 2.5 hours, 3 hours out. That's going to be a long day.
Yep.
And long drive.
Yep. Well, it's a good test for your teams. See how they match up with some of the other better teams in the state, right?
Right. And that's what we're trying to find out, just to get in a race and get in with the bigger levels. I know we're going to be in the second division. We won't be in the small. We could be in the small division, but we've always, years past, we've always opted up one division just because we wanted to see certain teams. It's where we're scheduled to be there. They stay in that same class again this year, so we'll see some good teams that we haven't seen at all. So it'll be a good way for us, both of our boys and girls, to do that.
Okay. Yeah, and is there a way to follow the Malacca Mega Meet? I know they have a Twitter account you can follow, and the mile.
Yep, there's a Twitter account, and there's also a results would be on, I can't think what the guy's name is. It's Gopher, I want to say Gopher Sports, if I remember right. I think it's the Gopher Sports. Yeah, it's GopherStateEvents.com. And they will, after every race, they will post it. And sometimes they even have live finish as they come in. They will, all of a sudden you'll see it tabulating right in front of there. You'll see the numbers as they cross. But usually within that, 20 minutes after the race, they've already told, it's already posted the results up. So that would be a great place for you to look at.
Okay. After Saturday, what do you got coming up next week?
Then we will run at YME next Thursday, so that'll be a good one. That's usually a nice fast course and pretty enjoyable course to run on to. It's a decent footing, so that will be get that chance. Then next week we'll be running it at the YME.
All right. Thanks, John, for your time this morning, and good luck up in Mille Lacs today and YME on Thursday. We'll talk about it next Saturday then.
Sounds good.
That's head coach John Sherb of the Lacapuro Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country Team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Ensure you have durable gloves for all of your yard work this fall with the Wells Lamont 3-pack of Wear Power Jersey Work Gloves. Available in size large, these polyester cotton blend jersey and fleece lining gloves provide extra comfort and protection. The slip-on styling makes the gloves easy to put on or remove. Remember to head to your local Hardware Hank today and pick up these Wells Lamont gloves. They're perfect for yard work on those chilly fall days. In Appleton, stop by Appleton Power Equipment and Hardware. And in Madison, it's Madison Hardware Hank right on Main Street.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware Hank.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to Lacapuro Valley Volleyball with head coach Molly Hannon. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you had a busy week this week, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Last Saturday, we played in Minnewaska, and then Tuesday, we went to Granite Falls and played YME, and then Thursday, we played TMB at home. So.
Okay. Okay, really then, good. Yeah, go ahead.
And then we ended up playing YME Tuesday, which I just said that the gym in Minnewaska was pretty warm in the one gym, but it was very, very warm in the gym on Tuesday in Granite because they're actually kind of remodeling their school right now, but we talked to the superintendent, and he had said that they have air conditioning everywhere besides the gym, so It was very warm Tuesday, and we ended up, I think, in the fourth set, we had to, the girls kept having to use a towel to wipe the floor because it was slippery.
Yep.
I think it was like every other play they had to use the towel, so it was pretty warm. But yeah, we ended up going, we lost the first set 22-25, won the second set 25-13, won the third set 14-25, and then won the fourth set 25-20. And that was a really fun game. It was a really big win. I thought we knew they were going to be a good team because we know Dawson's a good team this year too, who we played next week, and we saw that YME ended up beating Dawson Boyd in five sets. So we knew they were pretty well-rounded and a pretty scrappy team, so we knew we had to play well against them in order to win.
Okay.
And for kills that game, Tori Bungarten had a really good game. She had actually ended up with 15 kills, and then Riley Swatsky as well had 10 kills. Ashton Wintable had 5, Josie Munchman 5, Callie Tulier had 7, and then Kaylor Kittleson 1. And then Sydney Gertis had 2 and Macy Lund had 1, which we were kind of laughing after the game because there was a couple of plays where, like, Sydney would pass it over, I think, and then Macy actually set it deep and ended up scoring, which those count as kills, but you don't really see the back row players getting kills. So it was kind of funny that there's a lot of girls that kind of contributed to kills that game, and 2 of them were back row players that normally don't get any kills, so that was kind of fun. And we had a lot of blocks that game. Riley Swatsky did a really good job blocking in the front row. She ended up with 5 blocks. Josie Munsterman had 2, Callie Sulier had 1, and Tori Bungarten had 1. And then for digs, Sydney Gertis had 24 digs, Josie Munsterman 13, Macy Lund had 12, Tori Bungarten had 8, Taylor Kittleson had 7, Riley Swatsky had 3, and Callie Sulier had 1. And Ashlyn Wintable had 2. So digging was really big that game. They had some big hitters, and we kind of watched them warm up, and their setter tipped it or dumped it over a lot on the second ball. So we knew, we told the girls that were playing that they had to be ready for that tip so that we could pick it up because the setter did that quite a bit that game and shit it up, scoring a lot in that first set, which I think is the reason why we lost. But then our blockers kind of caught on to it, and that's why Riley got five blocks, actually, because I told her if she ever thinks that the setter is going to go up and tip it, just to go up and block, and she ended up blocking her a couple times, so that was really good. For ace serves, we had Tori Bungarden had three, Ashton Whitnable had two, Taylor Kittleson two, and Callie Souvier had one. And then set assist, Josie Munchman had five, Macy Lund had one, and then Taylor Kittleson had 32. So Taylor did really well that game, mixing it up setting-wise, and I was really impressed. I thought all of our girls did really well that game, and I was really proud of them.
Good. All right, that was a big win for you. And then you, on Thursday, you got right back at it.
Yep, we played TMB on Thursday, and I'm not really sure. I know their record has been pretty good this season, and we just know they have a lot of younger players that are that do really well for them. So we knew we had to play really well in order to beat them, and we knew they were a little bit better than Wyoming, we felt. So we tried preparing for them as much as we could. We ended up losing the first set 24-26, which was really close. We had a big comeback in that first set, but we ended up not getting away with the win. The second set we lost 14-25, and then the third we lost 16-25. For kills, Tori Bungarden had 12, Ashton Whitnable had 6, Callie Souvier had 10, Bradley Swatsky 4, Josie Munsterman 1, Taylor Kittleson 1, and then Macy Lund had 1. And then blocks, Callie, Ashlyn, Tori, and Riley all had 1. And then for digs, Sydney Gertis had 14, Macy Lund had 19, Josie Munsterman 10, Ashton Whitnable 3, Tori Bungarden 11, Callie Souvier 4, and Riley Swatsky 3. And then set assist, Taylor Kittleson had 31, and then for ace serves, Josie Munsterman had 2, and Tori Bungarden had 1. So even though we lost, I felt like they played pretty well. I feel like overall our hitters kind of just struggled at hitting around TMB's big block, and especially that second set, we came out right away. We came out playing really well, and we had a big lead, but then we, their middle hitter, went on a big run, a serving run, and we really struggled with serve receive and stopping that server, so we ended up falling really far behind in that second set, and I told the girls we can't let servers go on like a 10-12 run, serving run, because then it's really hard to come back. Mm-hmm. And they knew they struggled with that. And okay. I felt like overall the girls stayed pretty positive, though, and they knew that just to keep a positive attitude even though we lost, because next week is homecoming week and we have Dawson Boyd and McCray, which are two big teams. But I feel like those teams we can beat as long as we play well and okay. play good together. So
good.
Yeah, it was a fun week.
Yep. All right. And you just mentioned what's coming up this week. Yeah, homecoming week, it can be kind of a distraction at times, can it, for a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's lots of things going on. Mm-hmm. And
gotta stay focused, right?
I know last year I think we only had one home game, but this year we actually have two games that are home, and which is kind of fun, because it's kind of fun having home games during homecoming right. week, just because I know we get a lot of support. So
okay, all right, real good. How's your JV teams doing this past week? So you got any
good? I think yesterday or Thursday night, our JV team ended up winning, and our JV team ended up winning on Tuesday night in Wyoming in two sets, and then our C squad split. And then Thursday, I think our C-Squad team lost, but our JV team actually ended up winning in two. So
okay.
They did pretty good.
All right.
So I think at next weekend, JV has a tournament in Dawson Boyd. So
okay.
That's their only tournament this year.
Good. So. Well, good luck up in Hancock today then, Molly. And we'll hear all about it next Saturday. And I'll be broadcasting the McCray and Dawson Boyd volleyball match this week. So we'll see you twice.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we actually play Wyoming our first game on today. So
oh, you do?
Or in Hancock, so okay. It'll be fun to see them again, even though we just played them on Tuesday. So
all right, real good. All right, talk to you next Saturday, Molly.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Head coach Molly Hennon of the Eagles. And we'll take a break and come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Back here at the Coach's Show, best of luck to all the teams in progress today with cross-country going on and volleyball and the football team going up to watch Concordia College play football with Peyton Mortensen. So it'd be good for them to watch the next level of football and get ready for homecoming this up-and-coming week. Busy week with a theme, new theme every day. Well, got a couple of Dick Newman's sick jokes of the week, if you want to call it that. Got a couple of things here from the District of Columbia airport ticket agent experiences that they've had with political people, politicians. First off, agent got a call from the Kansas Congressman Moore, staffer. This is not the congressman himself, but the person that works for him, who wanted to go to Cape Town. I started to explain the length of the flight and the passport information, and then he interrupted me and said, "I'm not trying to make you look stupid, but Cape Town is in Massachusetts." Without trying to make him look stupid, I calmly explained Cape Cod is in Massachusetts and Cape Town is in Africa. His response, click, hung up. And then an Illinois congresswoman called last week. She needed to know how it was possible that her flight left Detroit at 8:30 a.m. and got into Chicago at 8:33 a.m., 3 minutes later. I explained that Michigan was an hour ahead of Illinois, and she couldn't understand the concept of time zones. Finally, I told her, the plane went fast, and she bought that. So, also, last week, I think I talked about some things that happened 100 years ago, and the tallest structure in the world 100 years ago was the Eiffel Tower. And 95% of births took place in the home. Well, that wraps it up another week here in Eagle Country. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
The political sparring continues regarding a whistleblower complaint. I'm Ann Carrick, Fox News. Democrats are warning this could be a national security threat.
We've got some tweets. President Trump says the media and lawmakers should focus on Joe Biden's past dealings with Ukraine, not his. I want to read you the tweet. Quote, the fake news media and their partner, the Democrat Party, want to stay as far away as possible from the Joe Biden demand that the Ukrainian government fire a prosecutor who is investigating his son, or they won't get a very large amount of U.S. money. So they fabricate a story about me and a perfectly fine and routine conversation I had with the new president of Ukraine.
Fox's Mark Meredith reporting. Hundreds of U.S. troops are headed to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in response to Iran's alleged attack on Saudi oil facilities. Support will focus on air and missile defense. Morgan Ortegas with the State Department backs the decision on Fox and Friends.
What you're seeing is for the first time in 40 years, there is an administration that is telling the Islamic Republic of Iran, it's telling that regime, no, you will not behave this way. And that's why we see they're acting out, because the maximum pressure campaign is working.
Approximately 70,000 U.S. troops already are in the region. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says details of the deployments will be determined in the coming days. Immigrants at the U.S.-Mexico border seeking asylum in the U.S. now will be sent to El Salvador, a country known for homicide rates. Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan